Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Tainis Daf Hey. We're beginning at the Mishnah, about 7 lines down from the top on Hamud Aleph. We're learning today Leilu Nishmas Emmanuel Gluck, Menashe Ben Ze'ev, and also Max Aframowitz, Mordechai Ben Aaron Leib. All the Nishmas we learn for should have an Aliyah. So we begin with the new Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, this is a Mishnah that should be Chazar for us. We had this quite a bit in yesterday's Shia. Admasai Shol in Asai Yishamim. At what point in the year do we start to request from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he grant us rain? In other words, when do we start saying the same Talum Matul Livracha? So we will discuss the start of that later in the Gemara. Here we're going to discuss until Admasai Shol in Asai Yishamim, until when do we say the same Talum Matul Livracha? So Yehuda Omer, until Pesach is over. In other words, until the conclusion of Pesach. That's the opinion of Rav Yehuda. The opinion that we have of Rav Meir on the side, he brings down from the Rif and the Rosh that the year should be Rav Yosef, but we'll call this Rav Meir's Shita. Rav Meir Omer, until the entire month of Nisan is over. Where does he get this from? Because the Pasuk says, Shinemar, Vayored Lochem Geshem More Umalkosh, the rains came, Hashem sent down the rains, known as Moreh and Malkosh. We'll explain why they're called that in the Gemara later tomorrow. And the rains are known as Moreh and Malkosh. They'll come Barishon. What does it mean, Barishon? Rebbeir dashes, it means in the first month of the year, which is the month of Nisan. Now, the Gemara today is going to be a series of statements that Rav Nachman says over to Rav Yitzchak, or questions Rav Yitzchak, and Rav Yitzchak gives him answers all in the name of Rav Yochanan. We'll have multiple statements like that, so we'll start. The first one is as follows. The Gemara begins. Omalei Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak. Rav Nachman says to Rav Yitzchak, how can it possibly be that Yorah b'Nisan, how can you tell us over here that Yorah, the rains known as Yorah, come in the month of Nisan? Yorah b'mar cheshvanu, they come during the month of Cheshvan. Again, we always refer to it as Cheshvan, as Mar Cheshvan. One of the reasons is because it's Mar, it has no Yomim Tovim during this month. It is the month that's bereft of any Yomim Tovim, that's what's called Mar Cheshvan. In any event, this month of Mar Cheshvan is when Yorah normally comes. And we have the Gears of Ditnan, which is a Mishnah, but it really should be, it says in the Mesoros HaShas on the side, it should be Ditanya, Yorah b'mar Cheshvan. The Brisa tells us beferish that Yorah, the rains known as Yorah, they come during the month of Mar Cheshvan. Well, Malkosh, those rains known as Malkosh, they come in Nisan. And as Rashi explains, we'll learn the meaning of what Yorah and Malkosh are in tomorrow's Shia. In any event, how can you tell us that Yorah comes during Nisan? It clearly states in the Brisa that it comes in Mar Cheshvan. So Amalei, so Rav Yitzchak answered Rav Nachman, Hachim Rav Yochanan. This will be the pattern of the whole day's Shia, that Rav Yitzchak answers each one of Rav Nachman's questions with a statement from Rav Yochanan. Hachim Rav Yochanan, Bimei Yoel ben Pisuel. This specific statement that Yorah comes during the month of Nisan was a one-time event that occurred during the days of the Navi Yoel. Yoel ben Pisuel, Niskayin Mikrozeh. This pasuk is fulfilled during the days of Yoel. Yoel lived during the time of Yehoram, who was the son of Ahav, and he was around when there was a prophecy that there would be a tremendous plague of locusts. This plague of locusts would last for many years. It was actually greater than the Makkah of Arba that occurred in Mitzrayim. And this plague of locusts, this plague of Arba on Klai Yisrael went as follows. The Pasuk says, it says in Yoel, it tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent a tremendous amount of locusts. Yester ha-gozom ochel arbe. Anything that the gozom, which is a certain type of locust, a certain type of grasshopper left behind, ochel arbe. The arbe, which is another type of locust, would eat. Begomer. Now, the rest of the pasuk is telling us that other locusts came, that anything that was left behind by the arbe, the yeso arbe, ochal hayelek, the yelek would eat, another type of locust. The yeser hayelek, osar hechosel, another type of locust. In other words, it was such a terrible plague, and it caused such a terrible famine during the days of Yoel, that Klai Yisrael was in a desperate situation. Now, Gemara continues to tell us a little bit more about what happened at that time. A great nes occurred to Klai Yisrael at the end of this Makkah of locusts, of Arba. Osashana, that year, Yotza Ador, there was such a plague of lack of rain, and as well that the locusts ate any crops that did exist. Below Yorduk Shavim, that year there was no rain, even though the month of Ador had been reached. So, Yordulhem Revia Rishona Be'echo B'Nisan, that year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed them to have rain only the first rains, the Revi'a Rishona. Revi'a, Rashi points out over here, tell us to jump ahead a little bit to what the Gemara will explain later on, comes from a Lashon of Pru or Vu. So these rains are essential for the ground to be fertile. So this Revi'a Rishona, the first of the Revi'a rains, the Yora rains, so that came that year on the first day of the month of Nisan, which is very, very, very late. So Amalem Novel Yisrael, so Yoel tells the Kla Yisrael, go out and plant. Su Uziru. It's going to be a very special miracle that Hashem is going to allow your crops to grow very, very quickly, even though the rains are so late. Go and plant now. So Amalo, Kla Yisrael said back to the Novi Yoel, we're going to die. Mi sheish lo kav chitim o kabayim sorvin. If somebody happens to have a little bit of wheat, he has a kav worth of wheat or 2 kavs worth of sorvin. Vali is animal fodder type food. It's really not normally fit for human consumption. So if you barely have a little bit of food, either a little bit of wheat or a little bit of barley, yochlano, if the person eats it, then v'yichye, he'll be able to survive. It'll be famine rations, but he'll be able to survive. What should he do? Oh, yisrenu, should he plant the little bit that he has? It's going to take months and months for it to grow. The yomus, and he's going to die of starvation during that period of time. Nevertheless, the Navi said to them, Amalahem, Afal Pikein, you are 100% correct on the normal circumstances. Nevertheless, the Navi Yoel said, I'm telling you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring a miracle. Tzu'u v'ziru. Go out and plant the little bit that you do have. Go out and plant it now, and you'll see that it will grow very, very, very quickly, and you'll be able to have a crop come up, as we'll see, in a miraculous period of time. In 11 days, you'll have a full crop, and you won't starve. So the people listened to Yoel, and in the discourse that they listened to Yoel, Nasel Hamnes HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nace that they would survive for the next few days because they had no food. They planted their last seeds, their last little bit of wheat and barley. They had nothing to eat. As we'll see more in the Gemara, they were starving. So Nasel Hamnes HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nace in the discourse that they listened to Yoel. And it's Gala Lahem, and he revealed to them that there was a little bit of seeds, a little bit of grain left inside various places that the mice had hidden away. Rashi explains that the mice had stored away some of these grains. So otzru ha'achborim, the mice had hidden them away, baksolim, inside the walls, some holes in the walls, u'mashe b'chori namolim, or that were inside some ant holes, and the stomach of the ants had gone and placed a little bit of grain, enough that the Kla Yisrael were able to survive for the next 11 days. And what did the Kla Yisrael do? Yatsu, they went out. The Zoru, they planted on Sheni, the second day of the month of Nisan. Ushlishi, the third day of the month of Nisan. Revi'a, the fourth day of the month of Nisan. They took the little bit of grain that they did have, and they planted. HaKadosh Baruch Hu then gave them this extra little bit of grain to survive that he had found from the mice and the ants in those various little storage areas. And then the Yardalem Revi'a Shnia, the second Yorah rains, the second Revi'a rains came, the Chamish of Nisan, on the fifth day of Nisan. So the first rain came on the first day of Nisan, and it made the ground susceptible to being planted in. And then more rain came down on the fifth of Nisan. And then, Hikrivu Omer Bishisha Sob Nisan, this crop grew phenomenally fast from the fifth of Nisan until the 16th of the month of Nisan, when they normally would bring the new crop and bring the carbon to Omer on the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach. These crops grew so fast that they were able to go and actually have a full crop ready and bring it for the carbon Omer on the 16th day of the month of Nisan, the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach in Eretz Yisrael. And then all the crop that was grown is now called Yoshan and is allowed to be eaten. And Nim says, it therefore turned out that Tfuah wheat, Hagdela B'shisha Chadoshim, that normally takes 6 months to grow, in this special situation, Gdela B'yadachos Yom, it grew in 5 days, from the fifth day of Nisan until the 16th day of Nisan. 11 days this crop grew and was able to be brought as the Korban Omer and they were able to be eaten and Klai Yisrael was saved. And likewise, Nimtza Omer HaKarev Mitzvuah, Shoshish Chadashim, normally the Korban Omer is brought from grain that takes 6 months to grow. The Korban Omer actually comes from barley, and it takes normally 6 months to grow. Nevertheless, it was Karev Mitzvuah, Shalachadah Suyom. It came from grain, from barley, that was able to grow in just 11 days. And therefore, Ve'al Oso Hador Omer, the Pasuk in Tehillim describes that generation. This is a very famous Pasuk. We say it in the Shir HaMalos every Shabbos and on Yontif, etc. So we're all familiar with this Pasuk. V'aloso hador u'omer hazorim bedima birina yiktzoru. Those that went and planted bedima with great sadness, with tears in their eyes, they will sow, they will go and harvest birina yiktzoru. They will go and harvest with great joy. And that's what this is referring to. They planted, they were starving, they had no food, but they listened to the Navi Yoel, and they planted, and 11 days later, they were able to harvest with great simcha, barina yitzoru. the pasuk in the Dehillim in the Shir HaMaalos continues. Halach Yelech Uvacho Nose Meshech Hazora VeGomer Bayavo Berina Nose Alumosav. What does this mean? So we're now dashing this pasuk. We dash in the first part. My holoch yelech uvacho no se meshech v'gomer. What does that part of the pasuk mean? The first part of the pasuk mean. So Rashi points out it can't mean the same thing that we just said, that the people planted with tears in their eyes and then they harvested later with great simcha. Otherwise, it would be just a repetition of hazor medima berina yitzaru. So when it says holoch yelech uvacho, they went forth with tears, crying, and then Nose Meshech Hazara, and they carried the bag, the container, the Meshech of the Zara. So what does that mean? Amar Yehuda, it meant that the shor, the animals that they were using to go and plow with, shor kishu choresh, when a shor goes and it plows, holech uvoche, the shor had no food, so to say, and the shor, so to say, was crying. However, ubechazi raso, when it went and plowed, let's say going from south to north, and then it returned to plow back the other direction from north to south, ubechazirasso, when it already returned from the plowing, olchel chaziv min hatelem, it was able already to start eating food that had grown. It grew in such an unbelievably fast period of time that the shor, when it went one way, there was no food, and it returned the other way, already there was grass growing, already there was food for the shor growing. And that's what the pasuk means. V'zeo, bo yavo berina. When it returns, it comes with great simcha, with great rina. So again, the first part of the pasuk has medima berina yitzaru, that refers to the people, and the second part holoch yelech uvacho no se meshech hazara, that refers to the shor, that it went one way and it plowed, and then on its return bo yavo berina, on a return from the plowing in the other direction, a short while afterwards, it was ready with great simcha. And what's the end of the pasuk? My nose alumosav, it would go and carry all the alumos, all the stalks of grain. So Amar Rechista, it was Rechista who said this. Oh, Amar Leib Mastisa Tana, let's say we learned it in the Braisa. Kona zeres, shibolas zerosayim. That the wheat had grown to such a great amount, that these sheaves had grown to such a great amount, that they normally, Rashi points out, the shibolas, which is the edible part, is much smaller than the cutter part, then the stalk part, the chaff part. And here, the stalk was the zeres, was zeres is a chatzi amma, a certain measure, and the shibolus was twice as large as that. Shibolus was two of these zerosayim. It was two chatzi amma, so it was an amma. So you had here, the not only did it grow so fast, but the food part was so much more, normally in comparison to the stalk part, to the part that's inedible. So therefore, this was a double miracle. It grew so fast, and it grew in such a way that there was an abundance of food. So this is what we say in Shir HaMaalos. When we say every Shabbos, the Shir HaMaalos, we should now have a better understanding and realize the tremendous miracle that Hashem can bring on Klal Yisrael in a very short period of time, if we deserve it. The Gemara continues to discuss the tremendous famine from the locusts that occurred during these days of Yoel. So I'm Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak. Again, the whole series of Shailas today, or statements today, is Rav Nachman asking Rav Yitzchak, and Rav Yitzchak responding with a statement from Rav Yochanan. I'm Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak. My deceive, what does the pasuk mean when it tells us in Melachim Beis, Ki kara Hashem lo ra'ov, v'gam bo el oretz sheva shonim, Hashem said there is going to be a huge rov, a huge famine, and it's going to last for 7 years. So what did they eat during that 7 year period of time? Banach sheva shonim, my ochel. How did they survive for that 7 years? So Amar Lei Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak says back to Rav Nachman, Hachi Amar Rav Yochanan. This is what Rav Yochanan said. Again, I mentioned many times already that all of the Shia today is Rav Yochanan's responses to questions that Rav Nachman had asked Rav Yitzchak, and Rav Yitzchak responded in the name of Rav Yochanan. So the first year, Shana Rishona, so Ochlu Mashav Abatim, soup, they ate up their storehouses of whatever food they had in the house. And they survived that first year. Shnia, the second year, how did they survive? Ochlu Mashav Besados. So they ate everything that was left in the field, whatever they were able to scavenge from the field. So that's what they ate. The Shlishis in the third year, Basar Behemah Torah, they ate all their animals. They had no ability to plow, to plant grain. They had nothing, so they ate the animals that were kosher. In the fourth year, they were so starved, Revi'is, Basar Behemah Tmeah, they were able to eat non-kosher animals because of Pikuach and Vashos. So in the fourth year, they ate Treifa animals. In the fifth year, they were starving even more. Chamishis, Basar Shkotzim Urimosha, they ate all sorts of creepy, crawling creatures. They had things that were huge issue to go and eat them. But they had to survive. Again, Piguach Nefashos. In the 6th year, Nebuch, Shishis, in the 6th year, Besar B'neihem Uvnoseim, they ate Nachman Alitzlan, their children. They were so starved that they ate their children. Rashi points out that not everybody did this. Rashi says, Miktsosim, only some of them did this horrible, horrible Aveira. Here you're dealing with, you're not allowed to do this even for Piguach Nefashos. So they Nebuch, they ate the flesh of their children. Now, obviously, if they were talking about that the children died in a natural way. So again, it's a horrible thing to talk about cannibalism, but that's what some of them did. In any event, Shvius in the 7th year, they ate themselves. Besar Zroos Seim, they ate their own arms. And this fulfills what it says in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, an extremely tragic idea. Like Kayim Lashinemer in Yeshaya, Ish Besar Zaro Yochelu. Each person would eat their own flesh of their own arm. Besar Zroo Yochelu. That's how terrible this famine was during this time of Yom. Gemara continues, says another question. Yom Alei Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak. Rav Nachman asks Rav Yitzchak another question. My dear, what does the pasuk mean when it says "Bekir Becha Kadosh V'lo Avo Be'ir"? The pasuk from Hosea tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to say to Klal Yisrael that you're going to be very holy, and I'm not going to go near you. You're going to have a holiness in the city. However, V'lo Avo Be'ir, but I'm not going to come into the city. What does that mean? Mishum the Bekir Becha Kadosh, because you're so holy. You're, in other words, you're good. Lo avu bi'ir. Kosh Baruch says, I'm not going to come to you. So what does that mean? So Amalei, Rav Nachman is answered by Rav Yitzchak, Hoch Yom Rav Yochanan. Again, Rav Yochanan gave us the following explanation of this pasuk. Amar Kosh Baruch, Kosh Baruch selling Klai Yisrael. Lo avu bi'Yushalayim Shomala, ad she'avu Yushalayim Shomata. I will, so to say, not dwell in my special place. We learned earlier that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a special place on this world, and he has a special place where the Shechina is most felt on this world, and a special place where the Shechina is most felt in Shemayim. And in Shemayim, that's known as Yushalayim Shomala, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kaviyoho place in Shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's place in Shemayim is in Yushalayim Shomala. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, said, while I have you in Golus on this world, while I don't let you return yet to Yerushalayim in this world, I will refuse to go into Yerushalayim Shomala as well. So that's how he darshaned this pasuk, that because I haven't yet allowed you to go into your holy city, I'm not going to go into my holy city. More questions? Says, well, me, Iker Yerushalayim Lamala, is there such a thing as Yerushalayim Shomala? And the Lord says, yeah, in, there is. As the pasuk tells us in Tillim, Dechsev, the pasuk says, Yerushalayim HaBnuyah, Ki'ir shechubro lo yachtov. Yushalayim that will be rebuilt on this world is connected to the Yushalayim lamala. So therefore, Rav Yochanan explains that there is this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't allow himself to go into Yushalayim shamala until Meir of Yomeinu, he rebuilds Yushalayim in this world and have the real rebuilding of Yushalayim with the Beis HaMikdash. Another question, Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak, Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak, how do you explain the following pasuk? What does it mean? Uva achas yivaru v'yichsolu musar havolim eitz hu. So what does this pasuk mean? So Rashi tells us, and Dibur Hamaskel will be achas, 3 lines on the bottom, that if it wasn't for the Gzeir Shav that we're about to say, Havamashma, this pasuk would be understood as Atumim Koetz Lekabu Musa, that the Klai was like a shtick wood, that we wouldn't accept Musa, v'leshav hayulokim. And therefore, we get HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish us because we don't listen. So that's the simple taitch of the meaning, but Rav Yochanan is going to darshan this is a Gzeir Shav. Now, there's no real Gzeir Shav over here when you're dealing with Ksuvim. And at the same time, he's homiletically darshaning this. So Rav Nachman asks Rav Yitzchak, what does this pasuk mean? And Amalei, Rav Yitzchak says to him, Hachi Amar Yochanan, this is where Rav Yochanan darshaned the pasuk. Achas hi, shimava eres rishoyim begehenim. This pasuk is referring to a single thing that is totally stupid and foolish, like a ksil, like a fool. There's one sin that a person does, it's so stupid. Achas hi, shimava eres rishoyim begehenim. And it causes the rishoyim to burn in Gehenim. And what is this sin? Mahi Avodah Zarah. This is the terrible, terrible sin of Avodah Zarah. And the more will explain momentarily why it's considered such a stupid sin and why it's such a bad thing. So, Ksiv Hacha, how does he know that that's what the Pashas is homiletically telling us? Because it says over here, Ksiv Hacha, Musar Havolim Eitzu. It refers to Hevel as this wooden thing that's going to burn you. It's going to be like the wooden Gehenna. And Ksiv Hasim, it says, Hevel Hema Mase Tatuim. It refers also to this Hevel as a work of tattooing, and that refers to Avodah Zorah. And therefore, this is showing us the comparison, the Hevel, and Hevel is referring to Avodah Zorah, and it's going to lead to the Rishayim getting burnt in Gehenna. Rav Nachman continues to answer Rav Yitzchak, Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak, what does it mean, Maidusiv, what does the pasuk mean? That it says, Kishtayim ra'os or so'ami, that there were a double sin, so to say, that Klai Yisrael did. So Tartin hu the Havel, the Gemara questions this and says there are really only two sins over here. Esrim the Arba, some of the Gersa Esrim Ushtayim, Shvikalahu. There are 24, that's the more correct Gersa over here that we have, that there are 24 sins that are enumerated over there in the Psukim in Yecheskel. So how can you tell me there are only two sins the Klai Yisrael did? They did 24 sins. So I'm Amalei. So Rav Yitzhak responds back to Rav Nachman. Hochem Rav Yochanan. This is how Rav Yochanan types this up. It says, Achas, it's one sin over here, Shehi Shkula, we turn to Hey Omazes, that it is equal to Kishtai. It's one sin that's so bad that it's the equivalent of doing two sins over here. In other words, it's twice as bad. This single sin that they did is the equal of doing two other sins. So, mind you, what sin are they referring to? Again, Avodah Zarah. This is a terrible, terrible sin of Avodah Zarah. As the Pasuk tells us, because it says, this Pasuk that we just brought down, Kishtayim, that you did two ra'os, also Ami, my nation, did two sins, Osi Ozvu, Mekor Mayim Chaim, you left me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you left the Jewish religion, so to say. You left HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the source of all life. He's the Makor Mayim Chayim. And instead, Lachs Ovlam Boros Nishbarim. Instead, you didn't accept the water that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. You searched out for other waters in empty pits. You looked for things in Boros Nishbarim, in broken pits that don't have any water in them. So it's the double sin. If you left HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you went to serve Avodah Zarah, you weren't happy with the real source of water, and instead you sought out these false sources of water that were of obviously no benefit. That's the lashon over here of shtayim, that it's a double inequity that you did, that you left HaKadosh Baruch Hu and sought out false idols, false gods. Uksibhu. And then Yirmiyahu describes over here, ki ivru iye kitiyim uru'u. If you go to the Ie, Ie means the islands of the Kittim, the people known as the Kittim. We're going to have over here in the Gemara, it's constantly going to refer to the Kusim, and the Mepharshim change it around that it should be the Kittim. It's referring to these people that came from Kis. So these Kisim came, the Kedar, Shilchu, Vizbonenu, Ma'od, Vigomer. And they sent to Kedar, another group of people, and they said, Hizbonenu, look into this as well. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking Klai Yisrael. Ha-hemer goy Elokim, v'hem lo Elokim. When the people from Kedar, as we'll see in a moment, different girsos over here, whether they worship, which one worshipped the water and which one worshipped the fire. And the ones that worshipped the water said to the ones that worshipped the fire, our water can put out your fire, so you should switch to us and worship the water instead of continuing to worship the fire, which is much less strong than our water. And yet, neither of them switched. Ha-hemer goy Elokim, v'hem lo Elokim. The Goyim who worshipped their false gods didn't switch them around, even though they had very good reason to do so. The people that worshipped the fire should have said, hey, Taka, the water puts out our fire god isn't so strong, let's go worship the water god. So the Goyim didn't do this. They had false gods. Ha-hemer goy Elokim, v'hem lo Elokim. Did the Goyim go? It should really be Elohim, because it's talking about false gods, it's not talking about real gods. So did those who worship these false Elohim, did they switch their gods to other false Elohim? No. Nevertheless, Klai Yisrael, you, Vami, my nation, Hemir Kvodo, below Yoah, you switched from the real God for absolutely no benefit whatsoever. Tana, learned in Abraisa to understand these psukim better. The Kusim, again, it should be over here, the Kitiyim, Ovdim Lo'esh, that's the Girsa that we have. Others have the exact opposite Girsa. There was the Kusim that worshipped the water. So according to, just learn our Girsa, the Kitiyim, who worshipped the Esh, and the Kedarim, another group of people, Ovdim Lamayim, worshipped the waters. So the one who worshipped the water said to the one who worshipped the fire, even though you know that the waters are going to put out the fire, Elohim Yireloheya, they didn't go and switch their gods. They kept them worshipping the fire, even though they saw that the water was stronger. And yet, Klai Yisrael doesn't do that. Vami, Hemer, Kvodo, we switched our real God below Yo for absolutely no benefit whatsoever. Continues Rav Nachman to answer Rav Yitzchak. Yomalei Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak. What does he mean? What does the pasuk mean? My dechsev, Vahi kasher zokin Shmuel. When Shmuel got old. Shmuel never really got old. Umi siv Shmuel kulei haya. Oh, Shmuel got old. It sounds like he got to, you know, the age of 120. No, he was only 52 years old. Va bar nun beis hava. Shmuel only lived to be 52 years old. This is Darshan Dapin that uses the Lashon of Olam. Olam refers to 50 years of a Yovel. And he was 2 years old at the time that he was supposed to die because he was more halacha in front of his Rebbe, Eli. And his mother said, this is the child I davened for. I don't want a better child. And she davened and he was given another 50 years of life. And that's why we know that Shmuel lived to be the age of 52. So how can you tell me he was old? Kaksher Zokin Shmuel. The Yom Amar that we learned in the Gemara elsewhere, that Shmuel died at the age of 52. Meis binun beis shana. If somebody dies at the age of 52, so he's dying same age as Shmuel Aramasi. And that Gemara in Samachos deals with the fact that normally kares is something that occurs at the age of 50. So if you didn't die at 50, so then if you died at 52, you didn't die a death of kares. And that's like Shmuel HaNavi, who was the great, great, great Shmuel HaNavi. He didn't die a death of kares. He died at 52, not at 50. And Amalei, Hachim Rav Yochanan. So he asked him, what does this pasuk mean? Rav Nachman says, Rav Yitzchak, how can you tell me the Shmuel died at an old age? He didn't, he was 52. So Rav Yitzchak says, this is Hachim Rav Yochanan. This is how Rav Yochanan explained the pasuk. Zikna kopts olav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him look old. Right? We have the famous story of Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Harani keben shivim shana. So the same thing happened with Shmuel. In fact, some use this expression that the 52 years of Shmuel were added on to the 18 years of Rav Elazar ben Azariah, and that's why he said Harani keben shivim shana, because just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Shmuel look old at the age of 52, he made Rav Elazar ben Azariah look old at the age of 18. In any event, Zikna Kovtzolov, he came to look very, very old. Why did this happen? Incidentally, Rashi points out over here that Hilbin Sarov, his hair turned white. That's what made him look old, and that's what it says by Rav Elazar ben Azariah as well, that his hair turned white. In any event, why? So Rav Yochanan explains the chassid, because the pasuk says in Shmuel Aleph, Nichanti, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel, is sad, he's upset, he's regretting, ki him lachti es Shaul. Shaul was a great, great, great individual. The Gemara in Yuma says that he was greater than David HaMelech, but for various reasons he was no longer not as successful as David HaMelech, and he wasn't allowed to have his reign continue. Only his son Ishbosheth continued. So Umlochim Mimcha Yetzeyu, that's a reference to Shaul and his son Ishbosheth in the bracha of Shevet Binyamin. In any event, it says Nichanti, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset. He was sad, ki him lachti es Shaul. So what happened when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that? Amal Afonim, Shmuel said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Don Shalom, Shekaltani k'Moshe v'Yaron. You have considered me the equal of Moshe and Aaron. As the Pasuk says, Dechsev, Moshe v'Yaron v'Chohanov, u'Shmuel v'Karei Shemo. So Shmuel is a great, great, great Navi. And he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you take Shaul away while I'm still alive, so it's going to look terrible for me. Ma, Moshe v'Aaron lo batlu ma'asei yadeihem v'chayeihem. The Moshe and Aaron saw that their successor was going to live on and continue their work. Rashi says that this is referring to Yoshua. The Marsha says that this is actually referring to Elazar. The two explanations are as follows, that according to the idea of Rashi that it's Yehoshua, so Aaron also taught over the Torah to Yehoshua, so Yehoshua was also a Talmud of Aaron, not only a Talmud of Moshe. According to the idea that it was Elazar, so Marsha says that since Elazar was anointed, when Aaron died, he was anointed both by Moshe and Aaron, so it's similar to the fact that Shlomo anointed Shaul. So in any event, Shmuel Tainis to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe and Aaron saw that their successor, either referring to Yoshua or referring to Elazar, the son of Aaron, continued afterwards, and in other words, it supported their entire life's work. So Moshe and Aaron, lo bitlu ma'asei yadeihem v'chayeihem, their work wasn't bottled during their own lifetime. So please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, afani lo yizbato ma'asei yadeihem v'chayeihem. Please don't kill Shaul, who's my ma'asei yadeihem. I was the one that anointed him, so please don't have him die in my lifetime. Let him continue afterwards. So people won't assume that it was my fault, so to say. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm sorry, I can't. Leim Shaul, if I were to go kill Shaul, no, you're not letting me do that. Lo Koshavik Shmuel. Shmuel, you're telling me I can't do that. So you die then. Leim Shmuel Ad Zuta. Should I let you die when you're young? So people are going to then say, ah, you died when you're very young. You must not have been a tzaddik. People are going to go and laugh at Shmuel and say, oh yeah, Shmuel was such a great tzaddik. And look, why did he die so young? So I'm stuck. I can't kill Shaul, and I can't kill you. So, lo leim u'shaul, v'lo leim u'shaul. So, let both of you go on and live? No, that I can't let either. Because, kvar higia malchus David, vein malchus nogas b'chaverta, afilu kimelo nima. That the time has come for malchus beis David to begin. And I have to end malchus Shaul because one Malchus can't go and impinge on another Malchus. And now is the time for Malchus David, so that means Malchus Shaul has to end. They can't overlap, they can't continue both at the same time. Albeit, there was a period of overlap between Malchus Shaul and Ishbosheth and David HaMelech for 7 years, but it meant that the time for David to be in his reign begins right now, and therefore, I can't delay that from happening. So therefore, for Shaul to keep on going on and to die a normal age death, and for Shmuel not to die, that's not possible. And therefore, I have to go and end Shaul's reign and let David's reign start. So therefore, what should I do? Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu. Therefore, now we have the pasuk, Ak putz olav zikna. Therefore, I will go and make him old. And that's what the pasuk means when it says, Vahi kasher zokin Shmuel. Shmuel got old. He had his white hairs come at a much earlier age than they should have. So people said, Shmuel's a righteous person. No, he got old. He's an old man. They won't know his age. And okay, so he died at an old, appropriate age. And therefore, while he died, his kingship of Shaul still continued. So therefore, this is exactly what Shmuel had requested. And Haynu Dasiv, that's what it means when it says, Vishol Yoshev Bagiva. Shaul stayed in Giva. Now, Tachas Eshel Barama, underneath a tree in Eshel that was in Ramah. Now, Giva and Ramah aren't the same place. V'chima Inyan Giva, which is in Shevet Binyamin's area, it's a Ramah, which is in the area of Ephraim. So, doesn't make sense. How could you be in both places at the same time? Elo b'darsh in the pasuk, elo omaloch. Mi goram l'shol sheyesha b'giva. What caused Shaul to be able to stay in Giva for a stay shon umech, for the extra 2.5 years that he lived after Shaul, Shaul still lived for 2.5 years after Shmuel died? It's tefillah, so shel Shmuel haramasi. It was this tefillah that he said, please don't let lo yizbato masa yod b'chayai. Let Shaul not die in my lifetime. So he was given 2.5 years after Shmuel to still continue on as the king. Now the Gemara goes back and questions that if one Malchus is supposed to come, so the other Malchus has to immediately stop. So is that really true? Or me mitchei gavra, mikami gavra? Would HaKadosh Baruch Hu have taken Shaul away just because it was David's turn to rule? What did Shaul do? So Gemara says, nope, that's the principle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu works on sometimes in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will push aside one person to allow another person to come forward. Yom Rav Shmuel by Nachmeni, now here we have the Gis Amar Rav Yochanan, but this is not Rav Yochanan. It says on the side it should be Rav Yonah's son, right? Rav Yitzhak said over a whole bunch of things in the name of Rav Yochanan, but here it's Rav Yonah's son it should be. In any event, what did he say? My disciple, what does the pasuk mean when it says, Al Kain, therefore, Chatzafti Banevim Haraktim Bim Refi. I have followed what I said I would do, and I caused the death just by my mouth. What does that mean? It's not because they did something wrong that they deserve to necessarily die. Ela bim refi. It was the decree from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Alma, what do you see? Mitchei gabra mikame gabra. Sometimes this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, that because David HaMelech had to come and has start of his malchus, so Shaul's reign had to end. And that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Now we change the style a little bit, but it's still Rav Nachman conversing with Rav Yitzchak, and Rav Yitzchak saying over Divrei Torah from Rav Yochanan. So one time, Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak have a Yasav Yisudah, so they were both sitting together during a meal, and obviously they're going to talk Torah. So only Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak. So here Rav Nachman asks Rav Yitzchak, Lema Mar Milsa, tell me something, some Divrei Torah that your Rebbe said. So Amalei, so Rav Yitzchak said, Hachem Rav Yochanan, this is what Rav Yochanan said, here's the first thing that I'll teach you, don't talk during the meal. Ein meisichim besuda. Shema yaktim kone levoshet. The Yovo Lidei Sakona. Because if you're eating and talking at the same time, so you may come to swallow food down the wrong pipe. So instead of having the food go down the esophagus, the food could chas v'shalom go and get swallowed and go down the trachea, and you could choke to death. So therefore, the first thing that Rav Yochanan said, and that's the only thing I'm going to tell you right now while we're eating, is don't talk while you're eating. That's one of the reasons why when people take a drink in the middle of the meal, they'll say a l'chaim, and that's to tell everybody, hey, listen, we're about to make a bracha, everybody listen and pay attention, but don't keep on eating, because if you answer amen, you keep on eating, you could, chas v'shalom, go and choke. So therefore, don't talk during the meal. That's the first thing that Rabbi Yochanan learned. No, after the meal, he tells him other divrei Torah. Basa d'sol, after they finished eating, he said, now we can sit down and talk Torah. Amalei, hachem Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said the following din. Yaakov Avinu lo meis. He said, Yaakov Avinu never died. Where does he get this from? Amalei, Rav Nachman says to Rav Yitzchak, how can you possibly say that? B'chi, b'chidi, for nothing. Softu, saftanaya, that the eulogize Yaakov Avinu, v'chontu chanitaya, and the people that embalmed, they embalmed, v'kovru, and the people that buried, kabraya, they buried him. The psukim clearly say that Yaakov Avinu died, according to Rav Nachman. and that they gave Hetzpeid him, and they embalmed him, and they buried him. So how can you tell me Yaakov Avinu lo meis? So Amalei, so Rav Yitzchak says to Rav Nachman, no, Mikra ani doresh, there's a pasuk. Mustami learned it from Rav Yochanan, because he said over the whole statement, Hochem Rav Yochanan, Yaakov Avinu lo meis. Here it doesn't say specifically in the name of Rav Yochanan. In any event, he says, Mikra ani doresh, I'm darshing this pasuk. Shenema, the pasuk says, V'yatoh al tiroh adi Yaakov nu Hashem. Pasuk Yirmiyahu says, don't be afraid, Yaakov. Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, V'yatech as Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael, don't become afraid. Don't become scared. Ki hinini moshiacha merachok, because I will bring you back from far away. Ve'ezaracha me'eretz Yavam, and your descendants as well. I will bring them all back to Eretz Yisrael from the place that they were shevi, that they were in captivity. So therefore, we see that Yaakov and his Zera are listed together. So make ishu lezaro. They're just ma'zaro b'chayim, afu b'chayim. Just like Yaakov's children will be brought back from captivity, it says that Yaakov also will be brought back. Therefore, Yaakov lo meis. Yaakov Avinu lo meis. That's one drasha that Rav Yitzchak told Rav Nachman after they finished eating. Amar Rav Yitzchak, another drasha, he says, kol omer Rachav, Rachav, if somebody mentions the name of Rachav, Rachav was the wife of Yehoshua. She was the woman who helped two spies that Yehoshua sent, Kalev and Pinchas, when they went to scout out Yericho, so she helped them escape, and she eventually met Yehoshua, and she eventually married Yehoshua, and she was a very, very beautiful woman. The Gemara elsewhere tells us in Megillah, which we'll learn Mitzvah Shem in a month, so we'll learn this Gemara, that there were four very, very beautiful women in the world, and Rachav, and she was known as Rachav Azona. Rashi very nicely categorizes her as Zona, as a woman who was Mechalkel. She was an innkeeper. She was a grocery store lady. But the normal type of Zona is that she was a harlot, that she was a woman of ill repute, and that she had relations with all these different men. And then she did tremendous tshuva, and she was Zolcha to be the wife of Yehoshua. In any event, anybody that said her name, Kol Omer Rachav, Rachav, Miyad Nikre, will immediately go and have a discharge of Zera. He'll have become a Baal Keri, Nikre. And that is what Rav Yitzchak said. Omle Rav Nachman, Ano, Amina, Velovich Patli. He says, wait a second. I said her name, Rachav, Rachav, right? And nothing happened. So how can you say that anybody that even mentions her name is automatically become a Baal Keri? So Omle Rav Yitzchak said to him, no, you didn't understand what I said. Ki Kamina, when I said that if somebody says her name and will immediately become a Baal Keri, that's if, Biyoda, either he knows her, or Makira, or he recognizes her, not just by saying her name. And the words were Maskir Shema, so that were not Goris, it says on the side, because that's just a repetition of Biyoda over Makira. Tosus explains, Biyoda means the biblical, he knew her. Biyoda Shabala, he had relations with her, so if he had relations with her once, and then he mentions her name, he's immediately going to become a Baal Keri. Makira means Shirosa, that he saw her and saw how beautiful that she was, so if you just mention her name, that's going to leave him to have Hirurim, and to become a Baal Keri. More continues and says, Ki habu miftre mehadode, when Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak left each other, they finished the Suda, and they were saying goodbye to each other. So Amalei, Rav Nachman says to Rav Yitzchak, Livarchon mar, Rav Nachman was obviously the Talmud, Rav Yitzchak was the greater of them, and he said, please, Rabbi, give me a bracha before we leave. So Rav Yitzchak says to him a beautiful, beautiful mashal, and this is a mashal that many people are familiar with. Amalei, he said to him, Emsholucho mashal lemadov adomer, you're asking me for a bracha, and this is the example I'll give you why giving you a bracha has to be done in the way that I'm going to do this. It's like La'adam Shayholich B'midbar, a person's walking in the desert. He's obviously very hungry and very tired. Vayorov, he's very hungry. Vayep, he's very tired. But something, he's very, very thirsty. He's in the desert. And then suddenly finds an oasis. Matzah Elon, he finds a tree. Shepeirosa Besukin, has such delicious fruit. Betzilonoi, and has nice shade. He's out in the hot sun in the middle of the desert with no trees. And now he finally has a little bit of shade. And there's water that's flowing over there, a stream of water that's flowing over there, nice, cool, delicious water that's supporting the tree, as well as now going to give him water to drink. And Ocham Peirosa, he eats some of the fruit, Vishosim Imeimo, he eats, drinks some of the water, Vyosha Betzilo, and he sits in a nice, cool shade. And he's about to leave. So he says, Omar, Elon, Elon, Bameh Avarechicha. This is a famous song. People know this marshal. He says, you great tree, Elon, Elon, how can I possibly give you a bracha? What am I going to say? If I say to you, you should have nice, sweet fruit, you already do. Hooray, perosecha, misukin. What type of bracha is that to give you what you already have? If I say, oh, It should be shehei tzilchanoi, that your shade should be very, very beautiful. Again, harei tzilchanoi, it already is beautiful. What type of bracha would that be I give you? If I would say shehei amas amayim over eretz tachtecha, oh, a nice, warm, cool stream of water should go and flow near you, underneath you. You already have that. Harei amas amayim over eretz tachtecha. How can I possibly give you a bracha? You already have everything. So what does he say to the tree? Ella, this will be the bracha that I give you. Yiratzon, it should be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. That any types of growths that come from you, any types of branches or saplings that will be cut off from you and will be planted in the ground. And with this we turn to Vav Omer Aleph, you kimoscha, they should be just like you. So this is now Rav Yitzchak says to Rav Nachman, you are just like this tree. You're Baruch Hashem, you're a great tzaddik. You ask me for a bracha. What should I give you a bracha? That you should be a Talmud Chacham in B'Torah? Yeah, Baruch Hashem. Harei Torah. You already are a Talmud Chacham. What should I say? That you should be well off? You should be rich? In Ba'osher? Harei Osher. Baruch Hashem. You're a wealthy person. Im Kibonim. Should I say you should have children? Baruch Hashem. Harei Bonim. You do have children already. So what type of bracha can I give you? Ella, just like with the tree. Ella, the best bracha that I can give you is a hero. It should be a Kodesh Baruch Hu's will. All the people that will come from you, all the children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren that will come from you will be kimosra. They should be just like you. Rashi says, Betorah will osher, and he says, will kavod. Others say, and banim, that you have children. So different yourselves over here. But in other words, all the wonderful brachas that you have should continue in your progeny. And that is the best bracha that you can give to somebody that Baruch Hashem is successful. What a beautiful way to end the share. With this, we conclude today's share.